The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and issue number 124. Carmen from Image Comics.
Carmen.
We didn't have to wait this week.
What, with the title?
Yeah, with the title.
No, I mean, I knew what it was before we started, which is unusual.
Yeah, I had already typed it into the show note.
That put undue pressure on me right from the jump.
It put undue pressure on you?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I had to have something to talk about with Carmen. Look, I already got the pressure this afternoon when I saw Twitter, and I was like, well, I guess I better read that. I'm going to be required to talk about it.
So. Yeah. Oh, we had a good discussion about it, though.
We did.
You weren't as excited as I was, but you did like it.
I guess I didn't find it to have as many talking points as you did.
But I thought it was wrong? We had a great conversation about it.
Yeah. But I felt like it was more straightforward.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so. I'm not as smart as you, John. It took me a little longer. I need your
Or you're smarter and you saw more in it than I did. I'm a simple man, you know. I take things at face value.
Yeah, and as we say in the show, you're also Mr. Brightside.
That's right.
So people got that to look forward to. And tons of WandaVision talk.
Yes, yeah. For the last time, unfortunately.
Yeah, for the last time. It'll never be the last time.
Well, not that it... I mean, it might come up again at some point, but...
Well, we'll probably talk about it again next week, because we'll have nothing next
week. Right, we have nothing else to talk about.
No other shows.
Yeah.
So next week's show is going to be like, what, 20 minutes long?
Yep.
Yeah, so... Really good show, great books, lots of stuff. Check us out on YouTube. Lots of pictures on YouTube we loaded up this week for you.
Yeah.
So
you really brought the work.
Yep, I tried. And he's taken my word for it. He hasn't even seen the pictures.
Yeah, I don't even know. So.
All right, let's get into the store.
All right.
Hey, John, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing fantastic, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
I realize now that we're recording this that I actually have to, like, look like I'm doing fantastic. I can't just say it.
Like, I know.
Like I normally
Come on.
Like I normally
you wanna, let me go out and come back in, and you do your normal face where you're leaning on your hand, and you're like, hey, DJ, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Oh man, that's funny. Yep, we are on YouTube now. If you guys if you haven't checked it out, just go Brightside Chat. It's in the show notes. The link will be in the show notes for the YouTube page. Thank you to everybody that's subscribed already and the people that have been checking it out. Pretty cool. Did you notice, John? I know you watched it. I watched it. But did you notice when you go down in the show notes and you click on any of the, because we have all of the timestamps in our show notes. If you click on any of them, you just go right to it.
Oh, no, I didn't notice because I didn't try to do that.
Yeah, if you do, so like if you're listening to the show and it's like obviously...
The show notes from iTunes?
No, your show note, like if you're on the YouTube page.
The show notes on YouTube.
Yeah, you click on the show notes underneath the video, right? And you'll see it'll be highlighted. The timestamps will be highlighted. So like when we get to FOC tonight, and when people are listening to this, you could just go to the YouTube and you'll be able to see the pictures that we're showing. You just go to the show notes and click. It was pretty cool. I thought, I'm like, you don't even have to watch the whole show because most of the show is timely anyways. But if you're in the store and you want to see what the covers look like, go to the YouTube. Boom. There you go. Pictures are right there. I thought that was pretty cool. We're new to YouTube. I don't know. Everybody else is like, duh, no kidding. That's how YouTube works.
I mean, that's how links work. I mean,
yeah, but
links usually take you places.
Yeah, but I didn't make it that way. All I did was take the show notes that I put on iTunes, right? And when I submit our stuff, I took the show notes, copied and pasted it right to YouTube, and then I looked and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. It just automatically links it.
I'm sure they had their algorithm set up to look for that.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, they were waiting for us, John.
I know.
Take advantage of it.
I mean,
oh, there you go, showing off the merchandise.
I'm trying to get it up there. I got, you know, that commercial with the guy with the big neck on his t-shirt. I was trying to get the shirt up so you could see.
There
it.
You go. Yep.
I have that too comfortable on a date looking t-shirt.
Yeah.
So
I've got the.
I don't use the right detergent. I guess.
Yeah. Exactly. So. You got the bacon collar. Is
yeah.
that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually.
I don't know.
Normally,
but
I have a sweatshirt on right now. It's still a little chilly up here, but today it was like 60, yeah. so that was nice.
Oh, yeah.
See, you got the short sleeve going. I got a nice long sleeve going tonight. So, but hey, we got the merch.
Really, all I own.
That's all.
So, this is the only one I have.
That's the only one you have. That's the one I sent you, right?
Yeah.
I didn't send you sweatshirts.
Yeah. No.
No. Oh,
did not.
No. Sorry. How about those glasses?
I mean, I don't have a lot of call for sweatshirt. Yeah, it's right there with the glass that I don't have.
These.
So. Yeah. Other people who are not on the show have them, but
Jen
broke, me being the co-host.
Jen broke two of them the other night. I was
there
down here working, and I call it working now. I'm down here working. I heard something smash, and I run upstairs. I see if she. It sounded weird, so I ran upstairs to check on her, and she goes, it's okay. I'm all right. She's like, I just broke two of the bright side glasses. I was like, what? Yeah. That's even worse.
Those were John's.
yeah, exactly. And they're valuable because we don't have many of them because Joe made them
they're
at school.
Items.
So,
yeah.
But all right. Anything else exciting going on before we get to breaking news or as you labeled it, breaking news?
No. Nothing.
All right.
No.
Let's get right to it then.
All right.
What do we got first?
So, well, first thing, since I was instructed behind the scenes that I have to go in order,
I'm gonna be like a robot.
And, well, hey, this is you want to put it up on YouTube. This is how the sausage is made.
Yeah, exactly.
So the first thing is looks like Superman and Lois is going on hiatus. After episode 4, which is actually next week's episode. And this is really due to, COVID interfering with the production of the season. And they are going to be replaced by Supergirl. So I don't know if this is going on hiatus until the entire season of Supergirl airs. I don't think it will be gone that long.
That would be weird.
But, yeah, but... it looks like it's going away for at least a little while. So, hey, thank God that their highest rated show is going off the air for an undetermined amount of time.
Well, we'll talk about it in real world. But yeah, it's they didn't say how long. They just said it's going.
No, it was
on
unspecified.
Hiatus, huh?
Yeah, unspecified hiatus. But like I said, Supergirl will run for 22 episodes, I'm sure. So I can't imagine this is going on hiatus for 6 months.
Right.
I would think that at some point it will come back and be on like the 7 p.m. slot and Supergirl will go to the 8 p.m. or something crazy like that. So,
That's
don't look for Superman.
That's too bad. That's
yeah.
Oh, well. All right. That surprised
it's just
me.
Something that we'll be able to look forward to for longer.
Yeah, so, there you go.
I'm a glass half full kind of guy.
Yeah,
DJ.
Even though you don't have a glass.
I'm a can half full kind of guy. So
look at you.
I try to look at things, I put a positive spin on everything that
side.
I do. I am. So,
All right.
Hey, so next up, we're sticking with the CW. Looks like the live-action Powerpuff Girls series.
I've been asking for this and asking for this.
I know, right? I can't believe it took them this long to get around to doing a live-action Powerpuff Girls. Because if I'm not mistaken, the Powerpuff Girls are like 8 years old or something. So
yeah.
The casting here doesn't really jive with that.
No.
But we've got a couple of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. alums being cast here. Chloe Bennett and Dove Cameron have been cast. I don't know any of the Powerpuff Girls, and I don't know who any of these.
Yeah, I don't know if Chloe.
These women are playing.
Know them. Yeah.
And then last but not least, somebody I'm not familiar with, Yana Peralt. So those are your three live action Powerpuff Girls. So
I don't know, Yana.
I don't know about you, DJ, but I'm on the edge of my, like, I cannot wait to watch this show.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I actually like Chloe
Bennett.
Literally
counting the days. I like Chloe Bennett too.
I don't remember Dove Cameron at all.
I don't either, but the headline said two alums. So yeah. I'm assuming she was one.
And I don't know Yana Peralta.
Maybe Yana Peralta was the alum from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm only like three seasons into that show, and I haven't.
That's okay. When I was putting the show together, putting the pictures together, we almost had a Dave Cameron in our picture.
Oh yeah.
I saw his show notes, and I was like, I'm like typing, I'm like Googling, I'm like, all right, Dave Cameron, and there were like
Google
five of them, and
not
I'm like,
working.
Powerpuff Girl, that can't be right. And then I looked closer, I was like, Dove, ooh, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. Now I get it.
All right. Up next, what do we got?
Looks like we're getting a Da Vinci Code prequel series.
Yep.
Has been ordered for Peacock. So that's pretty cool. Now, I mean, I like
Tom Hanks.
I mean, I'm sure Tom Hanks is not attached to play, I would imagine, the Robert Langdon character here. I mean, I liked both of those movies, and I've read both of those books.
I've read a bunch of Langdon books, probably, if not
yeah,
all
I know there's
of
more
them.
Than,
yeah, it's,
yeah, I know there's more
the
than
books,
two.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know really what the setting for this is. Like when they say prequel, is it like pre Da Vinci Code or
it must be like
Angels and Demons or like is this when he's
his
like
college
going
years?
To college?
Yeah,
yeah.
I'll bet you that's what it is because he mentions
maybe it's
it
like
in
the
Da
Wonder
Vinci
Years
code.
And it's gonna be him and it's gonna have a voiceover with Fred Savage or something. I don't know. Well, we'll have to see.
Right.
Once again, this would be really a cool thing where they could like young Indiana Jones this thing and you could have Tom Hanks do an appearance like at the very beginning and he's like, well, I remember back in my day we did it like this and then they go back to, you know, young Robert Langdon. So we'll see.
Hey.
I'll be down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll definitely a series of that because I love all the Da Vinci. I love the Langdon stuff, everything like that. So yeah. And if they write it anywhere close to how Dan writes those books, I'm, you know, good friends with Dan. So
call I was going to say, I didn't know you guys were on a first name basis, but that's good to know.
All right. Let's get to this one. I love this one. This is hysterical.
Yeah, this is great. So apparently viewers all set to tune in to watch Tom and Jerry with their kids last week were met with an unexpected surprise. It looks like the hard R-rated Snyder Cut Chapter 1 was playing instead of the G-rated Tom and Jerry.
Here, kids. Yeah, so, you'd have to have seen, you'd have to notice it when you don't plot.
Well, I mean, obviously
down.
Before it got, it wasn't hard R in the credits. So obviously they
I
had a chance to, you know, to rectify this situation before it got out of hand. But yeah, this was confirmed by multiple sources. It looks like somehow was a snafu and Chapter 1 of the Snyder Cut was leaked. So what's encouraging about that is many of the people that saw it said that it was like the best DCEU thing they've seen to date. So
not
necessarily not really a high bar
right.
when you're talking about the DCEU. And, you know, one chapter still has a, you know, it could fall pretty far from there.
Oh, yeah.
So
you've got over
no
3 hours
that,
left.
Yeah, no indication that this is like a great thing, but it looked like the reviews were positive on chapter one. So that's encouraging.
Hey, who knows? I mean, I've got the day slate. I know you're off on Thursday too.
I am off, and I am not going to be able to watch it
probably
until Saturday.
Why?
Night, maybe Sunday, because Lydia's going to be out of town on Thursday. She won't come back until Friday evening. And being that it's 4 hours long, like an evening may not be the time to plug that thing in. So probably, I think we're taking Saturday off, so we'll probably have to wait until Saturday to watch it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a bummer. But we'll watch Falcon Winter Soldier on Friday night when she gets home, and then we'll watch Snyder Cut on Saturday.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
but yeah, I'm off Thursday, and I'll be home alone all day thinking, man, I got all the time in the world to crank this up to reference level
and
above. And
you're not going to?
I might. Why? Have to. I mean, I don't know.
She's just say you've seen the first one. You, I mean, this is
we just watch these things I together. Know you, you do, know?
And I mean,
not that she's like anticipating. I don't even think she knows what the Snyder Cut is, or that it's coming out on Thursday.
Right.
So it's probably not that big of a deal, but we'll see. We'll see. I may sneak.
I'm taking the day off from work for this,
just to watch.
Yeah. Well, it's 4 hours.
So. Well, yeah, it is a whole day. It is a day of work, really.
Yeah. I built my I just built them today, as a matter of fact. The my masking for either side of the screen.
Oh, to go the other way.
Yep. Yeah. Built the mask in black velvet. Looks really nice. Can't wait. I played the trailer a few times. I really like the aspect ratio. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think you'll like it.
Well, we'll see. I'll have to see how it translates to my 77-inch screen.
Well, yeah.
Because I don't have the 105-inch or whatever.
It's 110, not that size matters.
Okay, all right. You know, yeah, that's what she said. Yeah. I mean, 5 inches one way or the other makes a big difference.
John, don't go off script. I don't have a picture for that.
Yeah, you don't have a picture for that? I mean, a quick Google search and you can have all the pictures you want. Just type 5 inch into Google and see what happens. It's not going to be a ruler. I'll tell you that right now.
Okay, so that was a short-lived time on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, we're now banned from YouTube. So.
Oh, boy. All right. Yeah. All right, moving on.
Moving right that's along.
That was your last one, wasn't it?
That's all I had for news, yeah. Hopefully. It was a slow... You know, honestly, unless your headline was WandaVision, something, 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 there wasn't really a lot of news
this week. Right. So. Are we going to talk WandaVision tonight? Maybe?
I mean, I guess we can get to it, but...
Say what hasn't been said. I don't know.
It's yeah. Like, oh, yeah, I literally can't wait to get every piece of news story that I read was something to do with WandaVision.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
All right, I've got a few here. So I've got actually an article that from one of my home theater listeners sent me about Alamo Drafthouse.
Yeah, they filed for Chapter 11.
Yeah, and then this week I got another article saying that it was pretty cool, that it's actually a good thing that they're filing for bankruptcy. But in the first article he sent, there was a nice quote in it. It says, "More encouraging is Sony's decision to move its release of Peter Rabbit 2, The Runaway, to May 14th. It was previously slated for June 11th. This suggests confident that most theaters could be open by then and that the family film audience is eager to return. Best of all for theaters, Sony provides a longer theatrical window than most studios." And when I read that, I thought that was pretty cool. That's the first time I think we've seen something get bumped up. You know what?
Right. Well, I know you don't have a picture for this, so I apologize. But it looks like Disney doubled down on Black Widow this week, too.
Okay.
And they are intent on that hitting theaters on May 7th. So
cool.
So, yeah, there's some confidence, I guess, that they're trying to build with, you know, with the theaters. I know California can open to some degree their theaters this weekend. New York just opened theaters.
Yeah,
so.
Yep.
You know, we're here in Texas because, you know,
wide open, baby.
We play fast and loose with everything. We are at 100% wide open. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. It actually was on the news up here tonight and that you guys are wide open. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And maybe. But they were showing where's the place that we went when we were down there? Where's the place that we went to the amusement park? Galveston?
Kima. Kima Boardwalk.
Yeah. Oh, Kima. Is that in Galveston?
It's on the way.
Oh, okay. Because they were showing Galveston.
It's not Galveston.
Okay, they were showing Galveston, Texas, and they were saying, like, because, and there was, like, I don't know, whatever. They were in Galveston or whatever. But in the background, you could see the Ferris wheel, the roller coasters, and all that. So I was like, I think that's where we went, so.
It's the same, ownership that has the boardwalk. They have the Galveston boardwalk and then they have the Kima boardwalk.
Yeah. So
anywhere where there's water.
But they were saying how like the spring break is going to be hitting there soon, and
spring break is next week.
Yeah,
for,
it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Good luck.
We'll see. Hopefully, yeah. I'll say we'll see.
We will see. All right, next one. You know this one. The email we got last week. It was, you know, the email that I'm talking about. I sent it to you. One of our listeners who came over from home theater, and but he didn't want to be mentioned by name. So he said, I asked him, can we talk about it like vaguely? And he goes, you can quote it. You can talk about it. I just rather not my name because it was some personal stuff. But there was one quote in the, it was an awesome, awesome email. So I was like, there was a quote in there though that I wanted to read. And he said, when I put your show on last night, just hearing you guys talk hit me with a wave of nostalgia. Took me back to my teens and early 20s when I'd hang out at comic shops around town, collect comics with my brother, talk movies, comics, and sci-fi with my roommates in college. And he obviously, you know, he went on. But emails like this and messages like this that we get, they're awesome. Thank you. Yeah. And, you know, he knows who he is. But
thanks, Deep Throat.
Yes. But we were both blown away by that email. That was great. And that's why we came up with the show. It was the idea of hanging out in a shop and just doing what we do. Just hang out and talk comics and talk whatever, you know, any tangent that comes along. So,
oh, yeah.
And Lord knows there are tangents.
There are many.
Yes.
Tangents aplenty.
And the next up we have a tweet. From Martin Ferretti at Geekvine. Hey, at Brightside Chat and at Arkham Comics, do not watch the Vampirella movie. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
You know what's so funny? You're like, you wrote, I think you replied, I might just have to. And
yeah,
I was in the process because of that. I was in the process of looking it up, see where I could find it.
He called my bluff, though, because I... Yeah, my response was like, well, I guess I have to watch it now because who doesn't love a bad movie? And then I actually, you know, Googled it a little bit.
Yeah.
And it looks horrendous.
Yes, so I did too.
I will not be watching
it. Did you see the costumes?
So, yes, it was really, really bad. Yeah. Hopefully what we're getting is going to be much better than what we got. Yeah.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Next up, we have another tweet from Nick Wetmore at Nick Wetmore on Twitter. Oh my, Brightside Chat, and he sent a link of Arnold Schwarzenegger's Last Action Hero finally hitting 4K Blu-ray. Are you interested?
Oh, yeah. Am I?
Yeah.
Not so much.
Really? I can't wait.
Yeah.
I love that movie. I have a blast. I love that. And that's what I said to him, and he's like, I can't wait to hear you talk about it. Probably talk about it at home theater, but I love that movie.
Yeah. It's okay. It's not one of my favorites, but...
Hey, Schwarzenegger.
But hey, I'm glad to see anything coming to 4K, you know, especially older catalog things.
Yeah.
So, you know, because it just continues to pave the way for more things to come. So,
yeah.
I'm excited on that aspect of it, but I won't rush out to buy it probably.
You just wait for me to send you the digital code.
Yeah.
All right. The last thing I have is... And another tweet, and it wasn't to us, but I thought it was pretty cool. I think it was yesterday, 3-8, what's today, the 9th, or 10th, 2 days ago. It was from at Superman on Film is the Twitter handle, and it's Superman on Film. And it said, which is your favorite Superman movie? And he had three listed in the poll, and it was Superman the Movie, Superman Returns, or Man of Steel. How would you vote? Everybody can see how I've already voted because it's checked here.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, I voted it's up on the graphic, so you'll see it. But
it's got to be Christopher Reeve. It's got to be Superman the Movie.
Okay. Now, I'll put you in. It doesn't change anything, but there are 530 votes. You can't see this graphic, but there are 530 votes. What percentage do you think Superman the Movie got? Everybody's looking at it if you're on YouTube.
85%.
Lower.
Really?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, really? I thought it was going to be
That's why I'm putting this in the show. I voted Man of Steel.
I don't know, like 40%, I guess?
Okay. No, listen to this. I voted Man of Steel because right now, if I had to sit down and watch a movie, I would. It's more action. It's more modern. I love Superman the movie, right? But that's how I voted in this particular. And I'm wondering if other people did the same. Because at 530 votes with one day and 19 hours left at the time, so it's over with. I didn't go back and look it up, but I thought this was crazy. Man of Steel is at 90%, Superman Returns 1%, and Superman the movie at 9%.
Yeah, that seems very skewed to me.
And now, what I thought was funny is I voted Man of Steel, and I thought it was skewed. I'm like, I thought I was trying to be maybe a little different, a little edgy.
Yeah, I was thinking 90% the other way.
So I was too.
It's really weird to me.
I would have been
too. Especially considering the, like, that movie wasn't very well received by the majority of people.
Right.
And, you know, again, like you, if I had to choose today which one to sit down and watch, it would probably be Man of Steel.
Right.
But you know, it's kind of that thing where you go back to why you always like A New Hope.
Right.
Like, I was 7 years old. I believed a man could fly. You know, I mean, it was like that whole thing. And we had, to that point, never seen anything like that. Our superheroes were Batman 66 and the Super Friends.
Right.
You know, like, we had never seen a movie like that. And Christopher Reeve embodied Superman.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think...
I just can't believe it's that skewed.
No, I can't either. But again, like, who voted? Are they a bunch of 20-year-olds?
I don't know.
Who've never seen?
Maybe.
You know?
That's a good point.
I don't know.
That's a good point. No. Because, I mean, the Twitter handle that put it out is Superman on Film.
Right.
So his followers, the people that are seeing this, have got to be mostly Superman fans. But you're right.
I would imagine
the age make, that could be the difference,
you
right?
You know, there. It's a bunch of boomers voting in this. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know. So,
but that's all I have. That's all I have this week. Are you ready to get to some comics?
I am always ready.
All right, John. What am I going to spend my money on this week?
All right, so I'm going to start by going all the way to the bottom.
Well, actually, just knock yourself out.
Well, that would work for you, too. I'm going to start somewhere in the middle. That'll really throw you for a loop.
Yeah.
All right, now, first one is Amazing Spider-Man issue 61. This issue is the debut of a new, admittedly not great, Spidey costume. Didn't get a chance to read this today, so I don't really know what the background is of this. But right now, it looks like the prices are pretty much just normal at cover price. But the 1 in 25 variant is seeing a lot of movement. Seems to be selling anywhere from a low of $20 and as high as $45. I would lean towards the higher end. I sold mine today for $40. So we'll see. Like, depending on what happens with the costume, this is a potential book to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
But I'm going to let the cat out of the bag just a little bit because being a comic book store owner, I get to order books in advance. And not that this means anything as a guarantee, but like the cover for issue 62 or 63, something like that, whatever I just ordered, shows him back in his regular costume. So I don't know. Really don't know how long this is going to last.
Right.
But yeah, it is what it is. Next up, we have Blade Runner Origins, issue number 1. There's a 1 in 15 art germ variant that's going for between $18 and $25. So, pretty much right on ratio with that. Children of the Atom, issue number 1. There was a secret variant here. Seems to have been, I'm guessing a 1 in 5. Because I ordered 6 copies of this and I got one. But
oh, there you go.
That could be anecdotal. The secret variant is selling for between $20 and $25. Other than that, there's not a whole lot of excitement price wise on the main cover here. But there are a bunch of first appearances, so this could have a Strange Academy type of situation happen with it where, you know, it just starts to spike as time goes by. And at least speaking for myself, this was very under-ordered. Like I mentioned, I ordered 6 copies of an X-Men title book. But I had like zero interest for this when I sent out my pre-orders and through FOC and all that stuff. So I went very low on it. Now, I didn't have a copy for the shelf other than the secret variant, because I did have people jump on board after FOC, which is always always something I love to see. So I don't know how many of these are out there. Next up, we have Proctor Valley Road, issue number 1. The one to watch here is the 1-per-store Christian Ward variant. This was selling yesterday. It had a low of $10 and then a high of $50. I think the $10 sale was just somebody that listed too low, because there's been multiple sales in the $50 range here. So I think $10 was an outlier and somebody got really lucky.
I got that. I got that graphic up on YouTube.
Yeah.
So that's the only one from Speculator Roundup, the only picture I pulled out. But that's a pretty cool cover.
Yeah.
It's like a green bull, looks like. Is that the one? I hope.
I don't know. I can't see your graphic, okay. And I didn't have...
Oh, you didn't get to see the cover?
No, I looked up I ordered this
Christian Ward cover, yeah.
Yeah, I ordered this book, but I didn't get the 1-per-store variant. I guess I didn't order heavy enough on it, because usually you get them for ordering the book, but I didn't. I didn't get one.
John, you can go to YouTube tomorrow and look this up, and I'll see it. It'll be at roughly the 29-minute mark, I guess. I don't know. Okay, yeah.
If only there was a link or something.
There won't be a link directly to the picture.
It'll take me to Speculator Roundup, though, and I can find it from I can find it from there. All right, and then last but not least, we have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Jenica Part 2, number 5. That's a mouthful. So it looks like the 1-in-10 variant here, there is being listed for between $25 and $30, and there have been sales in that range. But there are also sellers that have them up for less. So if you look around a little bit, you might be able to score one for a little bit less than that. But there are sales in the $25 to $30 range on this. So definitely one to keep an eye on. Mm-hmm. And that is it for Speculator Roundup.
All right. Let's get into back issue bonus.
All right. So the first thing here is just like a programming note. And that's to keep an eye on some of the WandaVision-related books that have been spiking few weeks. Yeah, so without getting into too many spoilers, a lot of fan theories did not pan out with the ending of this show that aired last
week. That's so unusual.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things that people were specking on that may start to lose value because they did not come true. The big keys and the first appearances are going to hold their value. You know, the White Vision cover is going to continue to hold its value.
Yeah.
The first appearances of Agatha and all that stuff will hold value. But there was a lot of other books that spiked based on a lot of crazy fan theories that didn't pan out. So just something to keep an eye on and to be thinking of if you're looking to buy some of these books. Yeah. All right. So the first book we're going to talk about, it's a book that came out last week. It's called ENIAC, issue number 1. This is a book from a newer company called Bad Idea. This book had some pretty interesting things that happened with it over the course of the week. But this is selling for about $150 on eBay right now, and very, very regularly at that price. There's also what they call the not first print version, which is just a fancy way of saying second print. but that turns out to have a couple of extra pages at the end that were not in the first printing, making it essentially a first printing in its own right.
Yeah.
And so that one's going for about $50. This book, if you were lucky enough to get your hands on it, like I said, it has a huge aftermarket value. Whether that's going to hold or not is another thing. I don't really want to get into the whole story of this unless you really want to, but this is the example of really what not to do if you're a new publisher in comics.
I'll take that under advisement.
Okay. Next book is Batman number 106, also from last week. This, as we mentioned last week, has the first cameo appearance of Miracle Molly. And it's selling for right now about $10. So, a little over twice cover price.
Okay.
New Teen Titans, number 23. This is back from the 1980s George Perez, Marv Wolfman run. This is the first appearance of Blackfire, and also the first appearance of Adrian Chase. Now, we've seen Adrian Chase appear on Arrow on the CW, but Blackfire is confirmed to be basically the villain of season 3 of Titans. Now, we got a hint of Blackfire at the end of last season, but this is her first appearance, as I mentioned, so it's selling for between $15 and $25. Next up, we have Sandman, number 10. There's a couple of first appearances in this book, but notably a character called the Corinthian. I'm sure this has something to do with the Netflix series that's being developed, but this is selling for between $50 and $80 currently. Defenders, issue 112. This is the first appearance of Power Princess. So nice. last week there was a leaked cover from Art Germ of Power Princess that had to do with the Heroes Reborn storyline that's coming up. And basically, based on that alone, just the fact that there's a cover with this character on it, who I honestly thought was Wonder Woman, because this character looks exactly like Wonder Woman.
It sounds so like for, if you had like I just saw it a few days ago, The Big Bang Theory, and that like if you had a bouncy house with somebody that looked like Wonder Woman but didn't want to get in trouble, so you called him
right.
Power Princess Bouncy House.
Exactly.
But it looks just like her.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is selling for between $25 and $35, although a nicer raw copy was bid up to $55 yesterday.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. And then last but not least, we have Earth 2, number 25. This is from the New 52 run. Once again, we had a bunch of hype last week with the announcement of J.J. Abrams and Ta-Nehisi Coates working on a Superman project. Rumors of a black Superman caused some spikes on Final Crisis number 7 and Action Comics number 9.
Mm-hmm.
So that effect trickles down here. Issue number 25 of Earth 2 is the first Val Zod cover appearance, and it's currently selling for about $30. If you backtrack to issue 19, that's the actual first appearance of Val Zod without his costume, and that one's selling for about $40. Both of these are books to keep an eye on, especially as news of this project breaks.
Cool.
So, again, there's a couple of ways this could go. You know, this could be the Calvin Ellis version of Superman. This could be Val Zod, or it could be a black Clark Kent, for all we know. So any of these books have the potential to really rise in price depending on what happens with this project, which we probably won't know anything about for like 2 more years.
Yeah.
So, that is it for Back Issue Bonus.
All right, let's get into FOC.
Yeah, so quite a bit on FOC this week, actually. We're going to start with DC, and we're going to look at Batman number 107. There's a pretty cool Francesco Mattina variant cover here.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Very nice. Yep. We're going to move on to Batman Urban Legends number 2. This is actually, I think, my favorite cover of the week. This is also Francesco Mattina.
I don't know. They're both pretty cool. This one's a little bit more dramatic because it has more color.
Yeah. The Batman cover is very cool, too, but I think I like this one just a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually do, too, but it's close. They're both awesome. They're both really nice.
Really good. Next, we have Crime Syndicate number 2. This is a Tyler Kirkham cover.
All right.
And then, finally, from DC, we have Swamp Thing number 2. With the hat trick, Francesco Mattina has a variant cover.
I was going to say, this is a really nice cover, too. I didn't even know it was Mattina. I wasn't looking at the notes. I'm just looking at the pictures. But, yeah, that's a pretty cool cover, too.
All three of them were really cool.
The hat trick. Look at you.
I know, with the hockey reference.
Yeah. And you even knew it was hockey. It's pretty good being down in Texas.
I know. We have hockey in Texas.
I know.
All right. A new series from DC. We have a new Green Lantern series. So issue number one has two covers.
Yep.
We have the next Batman, Second Son, issue number one of four with two covers.
Mm-hmm.
And then back by, I'm guessing, unpopular demand.
Yeah, what happened there?
We have the Batman Fortnite. Well, I imagine the orders came in woefully short of what DC wanted. So
let's try this again.
So they put it on FOC and now announced returnability on all six issues and hope that they get a much better response than what they got.
Wow.
Batman, Fortnite, Zero.
The video game comic book crossover didn't really take off the way they thought it would.
Well, the thing is, you had a series with six issues where you had to commit to, I think, four of them before number one ever hit the shelf.
Okay.
So no sales data, no returnability, no time to market or FOC it, because as I mentioned last week, the project was announced about a week before it went on FOC. So understandably, retailers were not willing to go very deep on this. And the fact that the PDF they provided for it didn't show it to be a stellar series,
right.
Honestly. I didn't read it, but I heard not great things about it. It was really a vehicle for people to get codes for skins in Fortnite.
Yeah, that's what you were saying last week.
So every issue, the six issues, has a different skin for a character in Fortnite. And then if somebody redeems all six of them, they get like a seventh bonus skin. It looks like, I don't know the lineup of all the issues, but it looks like issue three features Snake Eyes from the G.I. Joe franchise.
Oh, cool.
They're trying to, I guess, increase orders. So it's back on FOC.
Yeah.
The fact that it's now returnable will prompt me to order more than the five copies that I committed to last week. So,
that always helps.
Yep. Moving on down to IDW, we have another IDW DC crossover here. This is Lock and Key and Sandman, Hell and Gone, issue number one.
Yep.
This has multiple covers. From Image Comics, we have Geiger, issue number one, with multiple covers.
That's kind of a nice cover.
It is really cool. Yeah.
The skull kind of in the mushroom cloud.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool looking.
Yeah. And then we have The Silver Coin, issue number one. This is a five-issue miniseries with multiple covers.
This one looks a little scary.
A little bit.
Looks like a horror book.
I imagine so. But Chip Zdarsky is involved in part of the story, so that piques my interest alone.
Yeah,
I like Chip. So, all right. From Marvel Comics, Marvel was pretty light on FOC this week. There wasn't a bunch, but they have a cool Avengers 44 variant cover by Peach Momoko. I actually like this cover quite a bit. I'm not the biggest Peach fan, to be honest with you. I know she's got a huge fan base out there, but I do like this cover quite a bit. There were no new series on FOC from Marvel. That's pretty much it from them.
Mm-hmm.
From AWA, we have The Resistance Uprising, number one. So this is basically volume two of The Resistance. There's two covers for this. From Boom, we get Magic the Gathering, issue number one, with multiple covers. And The Many Deaths of Layla Starr, issue one of five with multiple covers. And then last but not least, we have from Ablaze Comics, this is the next Sumerian book. This is Sumerian Iron Shadows in the Moon, issue one with multiple covers. That is it for FOC.
Oops, I was a little behind on those. There we go, the Sumerian one. All right. Are you ready to get into checkout?
I am.
All right. Here we go. Well, we got two books.
Here we go.
We both read them.
Oh, we both read both of these?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yes, we did. So why don't you introduce the first book?
All right. So the first book we read is Proctor Valley Road, issue number one. This is from Boom Studios. This was written by Alex Child and Grant Morrison. And it had art by Naomi Frankies, I'm guessing. Yeah, so this is a horror series, basically revolving around, I guess, some monsters that haunt Proctor Valley Road, which I guess is like their take on Route 66 or something like that.
Yeah, there actually was the sign for 66.
Yeah, because there was a sign there that said 66, which made me think
kind of gave it away.
Yeah. this takes place in the 70s, and it revolves around four girls who are essentially, they're trying to figure out a way to raise money to go to a Janis Joplin concert.
Right.
And through a series of different things they're trying and they're not having success, they run into some guys at a fair, I guess, and they get to talking about a strange event that happened on Proctor Valley Road, and the girls see an opportunity to basically have this as like a spook tour where they can bring their classmates there and, you know, tell them about this story that happened, and you know, all with the intent of charging them so that they can get money to go to this concert. So obviously they think this is all just folklore or story or something or other.
Right.
And they get there and they find out that that's not necessarily the case. So I'll kind of leave it at that because I don't want to spoil too much more of this. I thought this was pretty good. You know,
it was fun.
It wasn't, it wasn't the best. You know, obviously, it wasn't the best book I've ever read, but the art was good. The story was good. I mean, it was interesting enough. I'm going to go ahead and pick up number two, just to see what happens here. So, I think it's a thumbs up. I mean, I definitely would recommend this book.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was pretty good. I saw one flaw. I'm surprised. It's not a spoiler, really, because you outlined everything. I'm surprised you didn't pick up on it.
Well, maybe I did, and I just didn't talk about it.
So they're trying to go to a Janis Joplin concert, and the price of a Janis Joplin ticket was, what, $6?
Well, I think it was like $2 per person, right? Because they said they needed a total of $8.
I thought it was like per person they needed. Like,
I don't know.
$6, $8, whatever it was. But then they set the price for the tour.
$5 a pop. Yeah, $5 a head.
Your tour is worth more money than a Janis Joplin concert?
Right,
I'm reading it, and I was like, I just read that, and I started laughing. I go, wow, these kids got greedy fast.
I thought the $5 price tag was pretty steep, too, because it wasn't like the drive-in movie, $5 a carload. It was $5 per person that they brought over there.
And they had a VW van.
Right.
They were going to load it up, and I'm like, apparently they were just going to, I don't know, make all sorts of bank. Like,
yeah, even just the three guys that they brought there was enough to go see two Janis Joplin concerts.
I know. So. But, it was typical, like, teenage hijinks. You know, the guys are typical guys in this any age. Never mind 70s, 80s, 90s. Typical guys. There was one line, I won't say the line or anything, but he's like, I thought you were gonna, and they're like,
right.
I didn't.
The three guys didn't jump into a carload of four girls with the spook tour on their minds.
No.
Put it that way. They paid their $5 thinking that they were going to have a completely different experience.
Right.
So.
But, I mean, yeah, it is a fun story. It's. I didn't think they really nailed the 70s vibe, though.
They could have done a better job with that. If it wasn't the fact that they were talking about Janis Joplin, I never would have got that this was taking place in the 70s.
Right.
That and the fact that in the beginning they were trying to shoplift some sunglasses, and she made a comment that she could have sold those for like a nickel or 50 cents or something.
Right.
And, you know, that obviously also goes back to a time well before 2021 where sunglasses are, you know, like $50 a pair and up. Yeah. So.
And that's at CVS.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, it is a fun book, but that is one thing that I did think of, that we've read other books where we really liked the vibe. Like, you could feel like whatever time period it was, you were like, I'm in that time period right now. And it was, and this book just didn't have that, but it's not really what that book's about. It's more of a horror.
No,
book
it's, and, yeah, the book doesn't really have anything to do with the time period necessarily, but.
Right. So. Yeah. All right. You ready to move on to the next one? I can't wait to talk about this one.
I am. So, Carmen, issue number one. This is a 5-issue miniseries from Image Comics. This was written and illustrated by Guillaume March. So, I mean, I think you like this a lot more than I did.
Really?
I didn't dislike this book at all, but I don't find it as thought-provoking, I guess, as you do.
No.
I thought this was very, very straightforward.
I didn't think it was thought-provoking. I didn't think it was like, it's not like at the end of the book I was like, oh my God, what a, when I said to you today on Twitter, I was like, oh, this would be a fun discussion because I thought it was a kind of unique take. I thought there was a bunch of stuff in there that was fun, like pop culture references, and they were having fun with it, like laughing, like, trying to guess the movie, and they couldn't guess it, and nope, not that one. I just thought it was a really interesting take, and then the way they ended it, and it's not a cliffhanger. It's not like this just like crazy ending. It's just one line that just made me go, oh wait, there's more?
Yeah, I have to go take care of something?
No, but it was the way she left her. It's like, I don't want to give it away because I'd like people to get there and just be like, oh, wow, because it was a fairly...
But isn't that what she said? She says, I need to go take care of something, and she left her.
She did, but it was the line right before that, that it was like, and I'll talk to you about it later, maybe in Kryptonite or off air or whatever, but it just like, you're reading through, and I was kind of riveted throughout. I thought it was the beginning... it set the stage of what, the trials and tribulations of this woman going through, hardship starts when they're young. I thought that was pretty cool. So it takes you through their lifespan pretty much. And, I just thought it was a very interesting take on, I don't even want to give away the subject matter.
Well, I know it's hard to talk about it, but like what.
I have both covers up, by the way. I have the second cover by Milo Manara. And it's definitely an adult book.
It is because she's naked through the entire book, so
The second cover, but that I'm showing
about it
right now
multiple times.
I thought it was tastefully done, John.
Well, it was.
It was part of the story.
The really naughty bits were covered, although they did describe it.
Yeah, they described it, and then later on they showed the naughty bits. So it was, and they described it, but it was part of the story.
And it made sense in the story.
Yes.
Like, it wasn't gratuitous nudity just for the sake of it, and it wasn't drawn that way anyways.
Right.
Like, she was naked throughout, but it wasn't overly, like, provocative or, it was like looking at an old painting.
Exactly.
In a museum or something.
Exactly.
It wasn't like, hustler nudes or anything like that.
The cover I have up on YouTube right now is, it's the second one, and it has her, have you seen the second cover where she's flying, the woman that's naked throughout is flying, and they show her in a purple top, and I showed Joe this cover today when we were at the store, and I go, see this? She didn't have that top on at all in the book.
Right.
And then I flipped open the book, and I'm like, see, look at that. It's like, it was, I thought that was, it was well done, and I want to see where this is going. What is this story about?
Well, right, that's the whole thing. It was this woman's tragedy, really, right? Like, she...
We think.
Did not have a...
Yeah.
Yeah, well... I think ultimately, because her situation is unalterable, I would imagine.
I guess.
Although I guess you don't know, right?
Well, like, after WandaVision, I'm done guessing, John.
Well, and the thing is, again, without spoiling too much, like, you don't know that her fate is sealed at this
Correct.
Point, right? This could be a It's a Wonderful Life thing happening,
right.
And
well, they reference that the Matrix. And I thought there was another movie too that they referenced in it, and it's like it's kind of a mix up of all. Oh, Ghost,
right?
With Patrick Swayze and Demi
Ghost,
Moore.
Right.
So it's kind of a mix up of all of that, and And it really is. It's like I can think of all, how that all those movies fit in there. It's a really good story, and
it is.
And we don't even know where it's going.
Yeah, it's kind of out there, and
very creative. That's what I liked about it.
Yeah, and like I said, you don't really know. You know, it's a number one, so you don't really know what's going on or where it's going. But it's definitely interesting. Another one I'm going to pick up. Definitely going to pick up number two.
Definitely picking up number two.
Just to see where this goes. And, you know, I thought the art was really good. I like his art. You know, he's done a lot of work with DC and some of the big, you know, big titles.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of work on Batman and Harley and stuff like that. So,
It's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
That was interesting.
Really good. Really enjoyed that. That's my pick of the week, if you didn't notice. Yeah.
Well, I know, because that's the show title.
One of the few times I can actually name the show before we get on air, because I'm like, this is it. I know it. So, all right. You ready to get to Real World? Or did you read anything else today? Sorry.
I read Joker.
Yeah, so did I.
I actually liked number one quite a bit. Yeah.
So did I.
I didn't get to finish the backup story. I was almost done, and then I had some customers come in, and
damn,
it took me to the end of the day, so I didn't get a chance to finish the punchline story. But I really liked the Joker story.
Yeah.
I liked this book more than I was expecting to like it.
So did I.
Once again, with a character like the Joker, I don't expect to really be that riveted by an ongoing Joker solo story. But this kind of came at it from another direction. This did not feel like a Joker book. This really felt like a Jim Gordon book.
Right.
So,
but it makes me wonder where 2 is going.
Right.
Like, do we finally... I mean, I thought it was really... Was there a Joker 0?
No.
I thought I read that at the back, that there was a Joker 0, and this is a sequel to that. Like, 0, 1, 2... I don't know. I thought I read that somewhere in the book. But maybe I was wrong. Yeah, whatever.
I don't think so.
But I really liked this book. I was very surprised... I saw it in the store and I was like, hey, you know what? I'm like, I'm going to grab that. And I didn't even know it was a Future State book. I think I grabbed a variant cover for it.
Well,
oh, yeah.
It's Infinite Frontier. Really Future State. Yeah,
right.
It's not Future
Infinite
State.
Frontier.
Well, everything is Infinite. Everything DC is going to be labeled Infinite Frontier.
Going forward.
So it's not necessarily any of those things, but, you know, it is labeled as such.
Yeah. I got the punchline cover.
That Mateena cover is really cool.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah.
Really nice.
And then I also read Superman. So this is the new...
How was that?
You know, post-Brian Michael Bendis run on Superman, which I did not enjoy. This book was fine. I mean, it was okay, but it set up a really interesting... scenario at the end, which I really enjoyed, and I'm kind of interested to see where it goes. So this book had a lot of Jonathan Kent in it as well. You know, him and his dad were on a mission, but when you get to the end of the book, something that they were encountering, Jonathan makes the comment to him that the next time this thing appears, Clark can't, he can't respond. He needs to stay home.
Yeah.
And Clark pushes him on why. And Jonathan comes back and, you know, for those that don't know or don't read all the other books, you know, John has been spending a lot of time with the Legion of Superheroes. And that takes place in the 31st century. So everything that's happening in this book is the past. It's all known to Jonathan, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's all history in the 31st century. So that's the first time they've really set that up. You know, like Superboy has spent a lot of time with the Legion of Superheroes in the past, but it was always young Superman. It wasn't a different person. So this is Jonathan now with knowledge of when his father dies, how his father dies, everything that goes wrong in his future is the past. So it set up a very interesting thing. He's like, you know, you can't respond to this because it's not going to end well for you, you know?
Right.
And so that's really interesting. I'm kind of curious to see where that goes. Clark is obviously not going to back away from a scenario, even if he knows he's going to die at the end of it. and what do they do to change the future? What do they do? I'm not sure how much they're going to explore that, but I was intrigued by the way they ended that book. So I thought that was really cool. I could be more excited about it, and it could lead nowhere.
Right.
You know, but I feel like they didn't put that in there for no reason.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Sounds cool.
And then I think it's really about it.
I didn't even get to Daredevil today.
I didn't get to Daredevil either. I think that's really... Oh, I read Conan, which I like Conan.
Yeah, so you do.
It was fine, though. I mean, nothing special. It's just a Conan story.
Yeah.
But it was pretty good. So, that's about it. I didn't get a chance to read a ton today, but I read a little bit.
Yeah, it just hit me now that I didn't read Daredevil. I was looking... Yeah. I usually save that for the end. So that I just keep reading and reading. I have something to look forward to. Then I got busy and I thought I was all caught up on my reading. I was ready to go. I came down here. I'm like getting ready for the show. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm like, oh, and now just talking to you, I was like, Daredevil was today. Yeah. So, oh well.
All right. Oh well. The good news is it's still there. That's right. You have something to look forward to.
Yep. I have other books to look forward to too. I got that new Spider-Man book there with that cover.
Oh, I read that.
How was that?
I read that.
How was that?
Yeah. Yeah,
I got you this. Read it. I got this cover.
Yeah, the die cut cover.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Really I didn't. Cool. I mean, that's what it looks like when you take the.
Right, the cover slides off, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Read it, and we'll talk about it.
Okay, give me a minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Doo-doo.
Talks amongst yourselves.
Yeah.
Talks. Yeah. All right.
Talks amongst yourselves.
All right. Is that it?
Yeah.
Ready to get to Real World?
Sure.
All right. What did you watch this week, John?
Continued my watch of Van Helsing. Was really the biggest thing I watched. But I did watch Coming to America 2, the Eddie Murphy jam.
How was it?
It was all right.
Is it worth watching, though?
No, it is. I mean, it had funny moments, but it really felt like it tried really hard just to be Coming to America.
Yeah.
Again. It's essentially the same story, the same movie, except Eddie Murphy is now James Earl Jones.
Right.
You know? But, yeah, you know, don't think too hard about it, because the guys that were 90 years old in the first one, you know, the guys that were 90 years old in the first one, 30 years later are still... 90 years old working in the barbershop.
The same guys in the barbershop?
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a little weird.
That's funny.
But yeah, they squeezed pretty much everybody that was in the first one. They figured out a way to get them back in this one. Was fun, but.
Now, are they going to make another one 30 years from now and the guys in the barbershop need no makeup, but the younger versions of them?
Yeah. They're going to be de-aged.
De-age them? Because that was a big deal back then that everybody was like, that's Arsenio and Eddie Murphy right there in the barbershop? Oh, man, that's crazy how they did that. And then it's like, now you're looking.
Right, 30 years from now, that's how they will look.
Actually, it'll be funny 30 years from now if you see them and go, that's pretty accurate.
Right.
They did a great job.
How did they know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I watched that. We watched that new show, Debris. Did you watch that?
No.
I think it's on NBC, I want to say.
Ooh.
There's two episodes so far. I watched the second episode was Monday night. It's an alien kind of ship falling to Earth type of show. It's actually really good, though. I enjoyed that quite a bit, so you should check that out.
I just wrote it down, put it in my notes.
Of course, you know, we'll get to WandaVision, but
you did watch it. Good.
Watch the big WandaVision finale. And yeah, I mean, besides that, it was just Van Helsing and, you know, our regular network shows.
Yeah. Did you watch, did you see The Flash last week? And
I did see The Flash, and I did see last week's Lois, you know, Superman and Lois.
And what'd you think of episode two?
I didn't think there was much of a drop off of episode two. I still liked it.
Okay.
I know you had a little bit of reservations.
Here's what my reservation was. It's like we were already in episode two, and it was like a cookie cutter of one with the kids. Like, didn't it feel like in episode one, like they had like turned a corner with the kids, and the kids were like more accepted. Okay, so we know Dad's Superman, and right. we're accepting of it. And then right away, it was Jordan went right back to being that like upset kid. When it's well, like, because where did all the progress he made the week before?
Well, he got the news that he wasn't special, right? But
that's what I mean. It's like, and now it's like, oh, it just he kept, and then they had to keep placating him, and they're constant. And I'm like, that's the only issue. I love the show. I love both episodes, but I'm like, right. don't do this every week where it's the kids are okay. And every episode, I haven't seen this week's yet. But every episode is, okay, the kids are upset about something, we solve the problem, and then next week the kids are upset about something, and then we solve the problem. You know, I'm hoping that's not it. I got a little nervous where it was like, Jordan's upset again? You know,
I don't know if you've watched a CW show before, but they pretty much have a formula that they stick to. Like, I'm not sure if you've watched The Flash yet. But,
yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean these shows are all very formulaic,
right?
Right. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I definitely see what you're saying, and you know, I haven't watched this week's either. But
right.
But yeah, I don't know. I liked it though, and you know, yeah, like you were saying, I didn't really see much of a drop off in like the effects or the production quality or anything. I thought that seemed to stay pretty consistent. Looks like they really put some money into this series.
Yeah.
Much more so than they have within. They're really kind of banking on this.
Well, so far, they've only made four of them.
Well, right. But it makes sense because this is probably their tentpole series going forward because, you know, Supergirl's coming to an end. You know, a lot of these shows, Arrow came to an end. Flash, even though it got renewed for next season, is, you know, it's on its downswing. So I think this is where they're putting their money, and I think they have to now be mindful of the fact that HBO Max exists, and they are also developing superhero shows, so
right.
they have to up their game a little bit when it comes to
oh,
that.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see.
And but, the shows could end up over there, so they know eventually
they could
end up there.
That you know, hasn't happened with any of them yet, but
no.
You know, because they still seem to be going to Netflix, but who knows how long that'll last.
Right.
And Superman and Lois being a newer show, their streaming rights may already be assigned to HBO Max.
Right.
You know, we're not really sure, so we'll see. But yeah, I like that. Flash was fine. You know, it was just picked up where the last season left off.
I saw this week's episode. I really liked this week's episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, last week's was... I thought that was pretty cool what they did with, what's his name?
Kavanaugh? Tom Kavanaugh?
Yeah, Tom Kavanaugh.
Yeah. Sherlock.
Yeah, I love his characters, though.
Yeah.
Like, he's so good at that. And what was it, last week's episode when Barry had to do all the characters?
Barry did a pretty good job
doing
most of those characters.
Wait till you see Barry in this week's episode.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, and the ending of this week's episode, really, you know how they do the Flash logo, and then they come back with what's coming up next, like a little, not a clip, but, you know, like a end
credit scene. Like a little stinger scene, kind of like Marvel
Stinger
does.
Scene, exactly. Yeah. This week's stinger scene, I'm like, yes! All right, good. I'm excited.
Okay, cool.
Happy. All right.
I'll have to check it out.
That's Superman, Lois, Flash. Have you seen Clarice?
I have been watching it, yes.
CBS or
that
Paramount
is on
Plus.
Paramount Plus now, yeah. Yes.
I like that show.
I do too. What's growing on me? I wasn't in love with it after the first episode, but it's starting to... I thought she tried really hard to be Jodie Foster in that first episode. And
she seems more relaxed now. I'm all caught
up.
I think she's
kind of... growing into it or maybe I'm just settling into it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that could be. But yeah, I like it. So far, I've been enjoying that.
I like how each episode is a story unto itself, but it is You know what I mean? Like, they solve...
There's a thread, right.
There's a thread, right. But they solve an issue, and then you move on to the next episode. But yeah, there is a longer story at play here, which is interesting. But there's a lot of callbacks to Silence of the Lambs. Anytime they take a picture, you get that bulb flash noise.
Yeah, which is
pretty
cool. Yeah.
Her coat, did you notice, like, that she's wearing the green coat? That's very reminiscent of the coat that she was wearing in Silence of the Lambs. Yeah. I really love the, like, I like what they're trying to teach her throughout the series. And they're like, what you did in, they don't say Silence of the Lambs, but how you went off on your own, you're like, that's crazy. You don't
well,
do
right.
that.
Like, the, yeah, her boss is, kind of dressing her down for that, like,
yeah,
but basically,
he's
like,
doing
I'm not
it
jealous
in a good
of
way.
You,
yeah,
right. He's like, I'm not jealous of you for what you did. He says, this is why I'm mad at you, and
right,
it makes total sense, right?
Yep,
like everything he said, you know, it's like you put yourself in danger, you put all your agents in danger,
yep.
And then it plays out in the episode where she learns the lesson, you know,
yeah,
hey, you know, this is right, I shouldn't be doing this.
Right. So. Right. And it's kind of cool how they take that, they actually take the Silence of the Lambs movie and go, well, she did it all wrong.
Right.
She saved the girl in the movie, spoiler.
Right.
But she did it wrong, you know?
Right. Well, it's kind of like that, you know, to create a sports analogy, right? Like if you have a, like if you're a rookie pitcher and you come up and you throw a perfect game in your first game.
Right.
Like the rest of your career is only downhill from there, right? Like, that's not the starting point.
Right.
And that's kind of like her, right? Like, she came out of Quantico and she pitched a perfect game. And
right.
now she has to learn how to be an agent. And that's,
yeah,
you know.
But she kind of cheated the system, too. She didn't, like you said, it's like, yeah. So, yeah, I like the story. I really do. And it's on Paramount Plus or CBS.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else? I haven't seen anything else. I haven't caught up on Resident Alien. Big Sky's on a delay still.
Yeah, I've been watching Resident Alien. Hey, did you catch the Big Sky Silence of the Lambs connection?
No.
You know the wife on Big Sky?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the girl in the well.
Is the girl from the well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I knew that. That poor woman, she can't pick a guy, right?
I know, right? She goes from Wild Bill to Wild whatever his name was.
Yeah, it's like, exactly. She's like, she helps one guy try to get a couch in a van. And in another movie, she marries the wrong guy.
Yeah, and falls in love with the other wrong guy. You know,
yeah.
She dances, dances with the other guy. She can really pick him.
Right.
So,
Yeah. Oh, you know what I wanted to ask you? Have you seen that Kevin James show, The Crew, yet?
No, I did add it to my stuff list on Netflix, so watch it. But like I said, we're watching Van Helsing, so we're, I think at this point, 10 episodes into season 3, and I think there's 3 left, and then we'll be into season 4, and then we'll be caught up with that. So we'll probably get through most of that.
Joe's going to kill me.
By next week.
I can't remember the name of the show. He's been asking me to ask you. It's on Hulu. It's an anime, Japanese anime show.
Probably haven't watched it then.
The book is, we were in the store today and he showed me the book. The book is actually backwards because it's in, you know.
Well, all the manga are backwards.
Yeah, it's all backwards to us. Yeah. It's on Hulu, I think. It's got
be Attack on Titan.
Yes,
that's a big
it.
One.
That's
yeah.
the one.
Haven't seen it.
He loves it.
I know
loves
it's wrapping
it.
Up. Yeah, it's getting ready to wrap up.
He's all caught up on it, and he's
was
telling
at one
me
point,
I got to check it out. Yeah. So maybe that's one you and I can do together.
Yeah, it was at one point my number one selling manga was Attack on Titan for a long time, but it's kind of fallen to other things now. But yeah, a very popular book. So
yeah, he's watching the show. Him and his buddies talk about it all the time, and he was actually had a picture. His buddy texted him a picture, and he goes, "I can't show you." And I'm like, "Why?" He goes, "It's a spoiler for season two. It's a tattoo, and it's a spoiler for season 2." And I was like, "Okay." They love it. So, maybe you and I can do that. We'll go through it.
Well, I'm really looking forward to. We're about 2 weeks away now from Invincible. I think that
the football
drops on
movie?
The 20s. No, the Amazon Prime animated series. Not the football movie. Yeah, I can't wait for Invincible.
I threw you for a loop.
I did. I wasn't expecting that. I really wasn't. Face. Yeah. So can everybody else, too, because we're live. So
we're not live, but we're recorded.
We're recorded. I wasn't expecting that response. But I think that drops on the 26th, if I'm not mistaken, which is, I guess, 2 weeks from Friday. I don't know if you've seen any of the trailers for that. It looks awesome. I love this comic book so much. I really can't wait for this show. And it's got like the voice cast, like all-star voice cast. I mean, it really looks great. So definitely one that I'm going to be talking about in a couple of weeks. So hopefully you'll be watching that as well.
Yeah. And is it dropping all at once or?
No. I don't know. Actually, I don't know. But I imagine it's Amazon Prime. So we'll probably get two or three up front because that seems to be what they like to do. And then we'll get the rest weekly, I would imagine. I don't even know how many episodes are in the season.
Right.
But I know the comic itself ran for about 150 issues, so there's quite a bit of story that they can tell. You know, it could really go on for quite a while if it is popular enough, so hopefully it will be.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I got.
Yeah, me too.
You're all set. Are you ready to get to some... WandaVision? Spoiler?
I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready.
You're ready?
All right. I am.
WandaVision! All right, John. Spoiler free, how would you sum up this entire season?
Well, I loved it. I loved it. I know you're a little disappointed.
I loved it, though. Yeah. I am disappointed, and you know why. We'll get to that.
I know why, because we've talked about it. Yeah, we'll.
Yeah,
we'll
and I nailed. I nailed why I would be. I said, if that's what it is, I'm going to be disappointed.
Right, and I said that's what it is.
Right, and you're like, and no, you said it could be.
Well, I was pretty sure. Right, I was pretty sure, especially going into the finale. I was pretty sure.
That, oh yeah, that week. No, I was talking like week two.
Well, even in the beginning, yeah, right. Even in the beginning, I was like, I really we'll thought that that's where this was going. Yeah, I know we'll get to it in spoilers, but what I think is that, like, this is actually, you know, this is spoiler free, I guess. You know, it's kind of getting roasted online, right? Like, a lot of people were very disappointed with the ending of this. And I really feel like this is like another Last Jedi or Force Awakens kind of scenario where people build their story up in their mind and then are disappointed when they don't get what they think they were going to get.
Absolutely, yeah.
And this is a case of fan theories running wild that didn't pay off. And to the point where the producers and the writers of this show going into the finale were cautioning people to not let their fan theories overtake them.
Right.
Because it was becoming very readily apparent that people were expecting something that they weren't going to get. All that being said, I had already, you know, we talked about it last week. I had kind of already made clear that if it ended the way I thought it was going to, I was okay with that because I liked the way it was going. But yeah, I don't know. I was very satisfied with it. I mean, of course, there was. I would have been happy if other things had come true.
Correct.
But I really liked it. Like I said, I was not disappointed at all. I still think this sets the stage for a lot of things to come.
Yeah, we'll talk about MCU. That too. Yeah, that's the thing I think this did. Is as much as we all, as everybody, ourselves included, had our own theories as you're going through it, I think that's the magic of the show, pun intended, was the conversations it sparked. I mean, you and I said how many times that the fun of this show is the conversation. If you just binge this show now, You're missing, you are going to miss out on probably 90% of the fun that this show really was.
Right. But I also think that conversation ruined it for a lot of people.
That,
because they
it
had,
would always
they had
ruin
too
it,
much
though.
Time on their hands. You know
right.
what I mean? Like,
right.
if it was there to be binged, people wouldn't have had time to formulate all these crazy theories.
I don't care about those people, though. There are
well, I mean, don't either. Because I mentioned, I think we were like on episode 6 or so, where I said, I give up, and I'm just right. here for the ride. You
yeah.
know? And I ended up enjoying it a lot more because of that. And it's one of those things where, again, I'm going to kind of go back to Star Wars with this, in that it doesn't matter what they delivered on this show, they're not going to make everybody happy. You know, in this day and age,
they never do, yeah.
Right. In this day and age, you can't have the perfect ending to anything, because mm-mm. somebody is always going to think it should have gone a different way.
Well, in this day and age of social media that's open to like 6 billion people,
right.
You get a million people that love it and a million people that hate it. And everybody on both sides feels like they're completely vindicated when you're both still in the minority
right.
in the world,
right.
you know? So I thought it was just so much fun. We had a blast and I don't have a problem coming up with theories, coming up with ideas. Right. That's what we do on this show about everything, right?
Right.
And what are we wrong like 99% of the time? And it's that one time.
Always.
That
yeah.
You know what I mean? You'll be like, hey, we were right about that. Hey, that was cool. Okay, move on. But
right.
it's that's part of the fun. If you're just going to sit there like a vegetable and watch these things and go, well, that was really good, and not get emotionally involved. Yeah, there's going to be highs. There's going to be lows. There's going to be disappointments. And I don't right. think there's anything, there's nothing wrong with that. But like you said, it's like the people that are getting angry about it, and they're like, they should have, right. no, they shouldn't have done anything. They did what they did. And I think, spoiler free, I think what they did is you can still have all your fan theories. Because all this show did was it simplified. It was 1 week in time.
Right.
Right? All of those fan theories could still come true elsewhere.
Right. Well, again, I think I said it last week. This show existed only to take Wanda from point A to point B.
Right.
Right? You have to show how Wanda gets from the end of Endgame to the beginning of Doctor Strange 2.
Yep.
Right? Because in Doctor Strange 2... she is going to be radically different than the last time we saw her in Endgame.
Yeah.
And without this show, you don't know how she got there, you know?
Right.
And that's what this show was all about, you know? And the writers and the showrunners who I listened to the director. He was on Fat Man Beyond with Kevin Smith and Mark Bernardin for about 2 hours talking about this show and this series. And, you know... They had a story to tell, and it didn't jive with what people thought
right.
it was going to be. They talked about the whole Evan Peters thing. They talked about a lot of things, and that wasn't the story they were telling. And he recognized the fact that coming towards the finale, that a lot of people were going to be disappointed with
right.
with the resolution that they got. But they had reasons for telling the story the way they did, and there was a purpose they were trying to serve, and you know, he feels like that's what they did. Now, of course, he feels that way, right? Because he directed it,
right?
But it accomplished what they were intending to accomplish, not necessarily what all the fans were intending to accomplish. So, and you know, again, when we start to watch episode one. Like, this is already done. Like, all nine episodes were completed. It's not like they were changing things as
right.
people were coming up with
yeah.
theories, you know?
Yeah, this isn't the 50s where they're filming yeah. live and they can
they're
change
just
on
sitting
the fly
back,
later.
Sitting back looking at social media going, oh my God, this is not going to be this, you know?
Right.
And they're like, these people are going in the wrong direction and, you know, But what can you do? That the train's already left the station, you know?
Right.
It is what it is.
I'd be enjoying it. I'd be laughing.
Oh, they did.
Oh, they're going the wrong way.
Yeah, they did. They did. But they knew, again, to the point where they put a caution out there towards the end that maybe you shouldn't be so wrapped up in your fan theories.
Right.
Because it's not going to be that, so...
See, I wouldn't tell people to not have fan theories. Just
no,
hey,
but I guess it was caution them to
understand that those
understand.
Are just fan theories.
Exactly.
You know,
that caution them to not be too disappointed when
we're not. Yeah, this show wasn't done at request.
Like, right.
It's not you make your ending.
Although he did say something which was interesting, and it goes back to something I said right at the very beginning. Their intention was to have dropped the first three episodes at once. Whereas, remember, we only got two, but the reviewers and the critics got three. And, you know, after two, we were kind of like, well, what is going on here? And everybody was saying, well, just wait till episode three, because that's where things really come around.
Right.
Well, they intended to have that for people. But because of COVID and because of... post-production, they couldn't have three ready in time for Disney Plus. So that's why it didn't drop that way. But I remember saying, well, if the reviewers got three, why didn't we get three? Because that must have been how they intended people to see it.
Right.
And it really was just a timing thing. Like, Disney Plus said, look, if we can't get this to you, if you can't get us to this by this time... we can't air it because,
right?
You know, we're not going to meet our deadlines or what have you. So, so I just thought that was interesting because that was a question from the beginning. You know, why they didn't give it to us that way? Because that's obviously how they wanted us to see it. But you know that COVID.
Yeah, it's kind of screwed some things up. But
yeah.
All right. There's a lot I want to get to when we get to spoilers, so you want to wrap that up?
Let's get to it.
All righty then. We can, we'll be back next week here on YouTube again. Hi, everybody. Hey. But you can find us on Twitter at @brightside_chat, or you can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. And you can check us out on the Nerdy Legion. At nerdylegion.com, us and all the other great podcasts over there. And that'll do it, John. And as you could see on Twitter, you can talk to John at Arkham Comics, COMIX. It's underneath his name.
Yeah. So. Look at that. Convenient.
Convenient. Go to YouTube and subscribe, please. That would be great, too. So anything else, John? Any final words before we lock up the door?
Autobots, roll out.
Hey, Fred.
All right, John, is the door all locked up?
The door is locked.
I thought you were going to have some act this week. Now that you're on YouTube, I thought you were going to pretend to, like, come back from doing the door or something.
I'm not that method.
All right.
I can't be bothered to stand, you know.
It's like, once I'm sitting, I'm sitting. That's it. All right. 126.47. Just had to make a note there on timestamp. All right. Where did you want to start with spoilers? There's so much.
Wherever. Just dive into what you want to get to.
All right. Let me see. So Visions. Yeah. Let's start with that one.
Okay.
For now. I really like, did you catch that? I didn't catch it the first time I saw it. I've watched it twice. I watch it with Joe the day it comes out, and then Jen and I watch it later in the week. And I didn't catch the quote that Vision said when he was saying goodbye. And he said,
what did he say?
He said, I have been a voice with no body, a body but not human, and now I'm a memory made real. Who knows what I'll be next?
Yeah.
No, and I was awesome. Like, Isn't it? I'm like, because it took them all the way through the MCU.
Right.
And it's like, I thought that was so cool. And I think what really blew me away is I missed it the first time.
Right.
I was like, you know, because he's just speaking and, you know, it's an emotional moment. I probably couldn't hear him through the tears in my eyes, you know.
Yeah, it was pretty rough.
But, yeah, it was a tough scene. But at the same time, we have White Vision gone. And that, right. I mean, I think that's who he basically transplanted all his memories.
Right.
And or opened up the memories for White Vision. So now he is Vision, no?
Right. I think this is just Vision going on in the MCU. Like, this is how he's brought back to life, basically. You know?
Right.
And I think this is going to be Vision from now on. I really liked their standoff. You know what I mean?
That was good.
You know, there was, you know, of course the battle, right? Like, they're fighting each other. And they realize, or Vision, Red Vision, I guess, realizes, like, this is a standoff, right? Like, neither one of them can defeat the other, right?
You punch me, I phase.
Right.
I punch you, you phase.
Right. And so, you know, he poses this philosophical thought experiment
which
was awesome. And you know, basically it opens up, you know, I hate to say Red Vision, White Vision, but I don't know how else to classify them, but it opens up his eyes. Right. And, you know, he, you know, realizes that he's been manipulated by Hayward and, you know, he,
see, I didn't take it that way. You know how I took it? It's basically the same thing, but I took it as you have Red Vision versus White Vision versus Vision, right? And I think Red Vision realized he's talking to himself, who is, for all intents and purposes, a computer. And so what he did is he spoke to him on that rudimentary level for a computer and said, if you're here to kill me or Vision, I'm not Vision. You know what I mean? And what he did is it kind of sent a computer into that. What was the movie where you send War Games. And he sent the computer into the battle where it just kept working out the problem.
Right.
And that's,
well, that's
basically what he did to him. And it really didn't. I don't think it made him realize Hayward was the bad guy. I think it just made White Vision go, he couldn't work out the problem because Red Vision was right. You know what I mean?
Well, right, but it opened his eyes to the fact that Hayward was trying to use him as a weapon.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it's a familiar thing. Like you said,
you're right
you've
on
seen
that.
It in war, yeah. You've seen it in War Games. It even goes back to Star Trek. It happened in Star Trek. Like, that's how you defeat a computer, right? You feed it a logical problem that it can't reconcile.
Yeah.
Like, in Star Trek, it was a similar thing, and they fed the computer the statement, this statement is false. And that sends you into a tizzy, right? Because if the statement is true, then it can't be false. You know, and
it's
the computer can't reconcile that. And so that's what happened in War Games, and that's kind of what happens here. They go, you know, he brings up the ship of Theseus, and they talk about that, which I thought was awesome, right?
Right.
Because, like, again, age-old philosophical question, if you replace all the
parts. You and I were
talking
about that last week.
I know. We always talk about the ship of Theseus, right? But yeah, I really liked the way that worked. But here's what the only thing that threw me a little bit about that scene was that, like, okay, if I'm White Vision, right, and all my memories and all my thoughts are opened up to me now, right? Because that's kind of what happened, and he realizes, I am Vision. I have all your thoughts, all your memories. I was built from, you know, all your pieces. I'm Vision. I would think that he would run to Wanda, but that's not what happens. He flies off, and we don't see him again. Like, we don't know what happens to him. But, like, if I have just been awakened, and I've got all those thoughts and memories and feelings, quote-unquote, because I don't, you know, he's an android, but he loves what? Like, why doesn't he go to the woman he loves? Why does he fly away? So I thought that was,
yeah. Well, he might
a little
also
odd, you know. But
yeah, I don't know. I didn't.
But, you know, they're going to meet again, right? Like, that's not the end of that story.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And then the question will be,
I wanted to know why he didn't phase through the window.
Yeah, right.
I did. I was like, he just smashed through a window. Like, why?
Right. The interesting thing going forward will be if Wanda can accept him as Vision, you know.
For all
intents and
purposes.
Because when she first saw him, she did, right? She's like, are you Vision? And it looked like she wanted to kiss him until he grabbed her by the throat or whatever and
tried
to
kill her. No, he squeezed her melon. He was like,
nah. Yeah, squeezed her head. But it looked like she did accept him in that moment. But now, after everything that's happened, will
he's
she accept
chalky,
him?
A little chalky, but yeah.
Yeah, will she accept him again? So,
but if he really is Vision, can't he change that appearance anyways?
Well, I would think so.
He could make himself the red one again.
Yeah, I would think so. But I don't think how he looks will be the sticking point for Wanda. It'll be, you know, whether she thinks he's Vision or not.
For all intents and purposes, doesn't he now have every memory Vision had, with the exception of when he left, and from there Vision just walked back and disappeared?
Well,
so he doesn't have the goodbye. That's it.
Right. I thought about that, but then something else kind of occurred to me too, in that if Wanda created him, right,
the fake
from chaos magic, right?
Yeah.
And then Vision, I guess, transferred his memories to him.
Well, I think he opened them up.
Right, because my question is, like,
they're already there. They're just
would
hidden.
That only be the memories that Wanda thought he had, or would he have all of those memories? I'm not 100% sure.
Right.
If he awoke something that was already there, or if he kind of transferred his memories to him.
Right. So because he may not have
case,
any memories
he might be
of the
incomplete.
Hex.
Right. He might be incomplete. But,
which is fine, really.
Yeah.
Except for
the
boys.
I thought that whole interaction with them was great. I thought that the whole Wanda and Agatha showdown was great. Now, that's where you were more on target than I was, because I kind of really thought that she was going to be I don't consider her to be like the big bad of the show, because the big bad of the show was Grief, really. That's the big bad, but she wasn't a good guy. Like, I thought she was going to sort of take over as like a mentor for Wanda, and she didn't. Like, you were right in that she wanted that power. Like, she was trying to absorb the powers. But I thought that whole scene, the showdown, was great when they kind of pull back and reveal the runes on the the hex. I thought that was awesome. I thought all of that was great. I thought the resolution with Agatha was great. Like, we're definitely going to see her again too, or at least if they don't bring her back, they're making a mistake. You know what I mean? Because
I thought
she
did
a great job. And,
they did everything to do all the stuff that you were talking about, like make her a mentor.
Right.
You know?
And that could still happen too.
That's what I mean. All those fan theories that we had, even though they didn't come true here, this is an instance where it's like you can totally see what just Agnes's, she was Agnes when she said it, her line of, like, you're going to need me, you're going to need, you know, you don't know what's coming.
Right.
That's all the stuff that we wanted to come by episode 9.
Right.
You know, and, like, the idea that she's not even the most powerful person. There's somebody pulling her strings, right? All of those fan theories that we had, they were summed up in her line there that will take place somewhere else at some other time, you know?
Right.
Which I thought that was really cool how they did that.
Yeah, I love that they set up, Agnes set up that, you know, Wanda was more powerful than the Sorcerer Supreme, which I thought was pretty cool. So I liked that aspect of it. But yeah, you know, obviously something Wanda did, you know, unlocks what they're going to face in that movie, I imagine, right? Like, whatever she did that she doesn't know yet is what's going to take place in the Multiverse of Madness. You know, so did she fracture the multiverse? Did she, you know, we don't really know what she did, because we won't find out until we get to that movie. But, you know, there's repercussions that I feel like she's going to have to go back to Agatha, Agnes, whatever, and you know, bring her out of the hex and you know, find out what's going on. So
Like that was another question I have for you, the whole Agatha thing. There's so many questions about her in, and I don't call them plot holes, I don't call them story flaws or anything, but like I still don't understand how she knew to find her, how she knew to go to the hex, how she knew that this was going to happen.
I still really just feel like as a witch, she's tuned in. It's like the Force. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like I just feel like she felt the disturbance in the Force, you know, like I think she was just drawn to it. You're right that they don't explicitly answer it.
Right. And that lends me to think it's something bigger than that. Right. That the, you know, when she explains it later, when she shows up somewhere else, she'll say, like, this is what's coming. And the reason I knew is I was trying to get your powers for this reason.
Right.
Because somebody wants them, or they, you know, it's, she's worth, I picture her as somebody like Loki in Avengers, like in the first Avengers movie. He was working for Thanos at the time, but he didn't, nobody really knew that. It wasn't a big reveal. I think we did know Thanos at that time. Maybe he was in the end credits at that time. But
because he was in the end credits of Age of Ultron, I think was the first time we saw Thanos, right?
I think it was the first time we actually saw him. But who was he? Like in it wasn't Thanos that he walked up to. Because remember in the at the beginning of Avengers, he walks up the stairs in space. At the very beginning, but it wasn't him. It was the guys working for Thanos at the time.
Yeah, the...
what do you call them?
I can't remember what they're called. Yeah.
Yeah, but anyways. But it was all henchmen, a prelude to Thanos, right? But they hadn't still done the big reveal yet. So I have a feeling that's kind of what, like, Agatha is going to be. And
it
like
could
a Loki-type character.
It definitely could be. I think she is the Loki of the next phase. Like, you know what I mean?
Could be.
But yeah, I don't know. Again, my gut tells me it was just a,
yeah,
like I said, a kind of like a disturbance in the Force. I don't know how else to say it, but yeah. You know,
a disturbance in the magic.
Yeah, that she just felt and was drawn to it. You know, like I said, very powerful magic that if you were tuned into that, you know, you would feel the ripple or what have you.
Right.
Because I still don't know. You know, who is she working for? Like, we don't really know.
Right, we don't know. They haven't said. All we know is there's something bigger, because she did say that. She's like, you have no idea what you've done.
It could still be Mephisto. We don't know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we don't really know the plot of Multiverse of Madness at all. We don't know anything about that. So,
All right. The boys. Let's talk about them, the two boys. We hear them. And the last scene, the last end credit scene, you can hear them calling for her.
Right.
Calling for help. So they exist somewhere?
I'm guessing, right? Like, they're... Like, where do they go, right? Like, we don't know where they go when she basically lowers the hex, right? The chaos magic means that she created them in a real sense, right? Like, that's what Agatha said.
Well,
like,
then
you created this, so do they cease to exist when they disappear? Or are they, again, are they part of the multiverse? Are they from another reality or dimension? Don't know, but...
That's where I was kind of leading you.
Yeah, we get to the end, and she's, you know, she's studying the Darkhold and hears them. And, we don't know, but I have a feeling that that's not the last, you know, obviously that's not the last we see of them.
Now, wouldn't Vision be there?
Well, it could be, again, because, you know, he says we've said goodbye before, so it stands to reason that we could say hello again. So, who knows? But then, isn't that just WandaVision all over again? Like, I don't know if I don't know that they're going to reverse everything they just did to bring them all back again.
Right.
Yeah, I just don't know. And that's the whole thing.
We'll get to that in a second. But
yeah,
the what I liked is I really liked how they did a better job of it in the show than I'm about to do on this show. But they did a really good job at getting rid of the boys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That would have, they put them to bed and then they went off to say their goodbye. And you just know in the background that the boys go in their sleep, the right. boys go away. So you don't, but they showed you earlier on when the hex was coming down and they were in the street and they were like, mom, nom, you know, and yeah. that was emotional, kind right. of basically foreshadowing what you know is about to happen anyways. Right.
Right.
But the way that I'm like, how the entire time after that, I'm like, how are we going to get rid of the kids? I right. this is going to be awful. And I thought it was very like tastefully done in that it was still emotional.
It was kinda, right. And it was very sitcom. Right. Because, again, going back to the sitcom where, you know, you just turn out the lights and they right. and it's like you're, you know, in the old sitcoms, you turn the lights out on the stage and that was the end of the show.
Right.
And that's kind of the way I felt about that. It's like, you know, we turned out the lights, analogy, we closed the yeah. door, and you just, now the question is, did they go peacefully or did they go screaming and we just didn't hear it, you know? Because like in the street,
right,
like it wasn't a pleasant experience for them,
but
to
they
be,
were trying to get to her in the street. I like right. to think that they were asleep,
or did they know, like did right. they know what was coming, you know?
Right.
Who knows? Because I love the line,
but now they are screaming for her.
Right. Thanks for choosing me to be your mom. You
yeah.
know, I really love that line. It, you know, gets you right in the gut. But when you say that to them, like, does that not indicate to them that something's, you know,
something's afoot?
Something's not right. Yeah.
yeah.
Because mom's put me to bed a lot of times and she's never said that. So,
nope.
you know,
Nope. Yeah. that was weird. But yeah, it's, I just thought it was really well done because I was expecting a more, I don't know. I can't say a more emotional scene, but I didn't know how they were going to do it, especially right. being on Disney Plus
right.
and have, you know, they already had that scene in the street, like you said,
which obviously she couldn't take. Because she didn't right. let it happen, you know. It got
well,
to
yeah.
her, and she
wasn't ready to let
it happen
right. yet. She was just pulling the hex down for a little bit to let people right. out. Yeah. Let's see what where. All right, before we get to that costume, what do you think of her costume?
Loved it.
Awesome.
Yeah, I loved
and
it.
She had. I liked how at the end, like she had like two different versions. Like the first one she changed into, I really liked because the cape came out from like her waist. Did you notice yeah. that? Like she had a cape in the back. She was wearing pants, but from behind it looked like she was wearing a dress.
Right.
Right? So she had a cape from the waist down.
Right.
And then later on at the end when she flies away, she had a like Little Red Riding Hood on with the right. cape all the way from her shoulders all the way down. But still the same front, you know, dress costume with the pants yeah. and everything. And and the crown that she wore.
Right, because again,
everything was awesome.
That had the potential to look corny, you
yes.
know, based on how it looks in the comics. And we kind of got it in the Halloween costume episode.
Yeah.
But I really liked the way they did it, you know, here. I thought it looked great. Yeah, I thought the costume was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, again, can't wait to see more of that. You know, I'm just sad that we're done with Wanda for a year, you know?
Well, that was the next thing I was going to say is about what did you think of the idea of, like, they told us a while ago that WandaVision was going to be one season and one season only.
Right.
And it was. And here's the thing. I think one of the most creative things that they did with this, aside from, I mean, we've talked ad nauseum from episode 1 to 9 on how creative each episode was, but as a season as a whole, have we ever had a season this complete, this good, and then at the end said, we don't need anything else.
Right.
We don't need a season 2. Because don't there can't need a season be. There's two no
of,
hex.
Right. Don't need a season two of this show, necessarily.
We want more Wanda.
Right. Like I said, she's going to continue into Multiverse of Madness and who knows what else, right?
Right.
Like, we don't know what part she plays in the MCU going forward. And I could see a world where we got another Wanda show post Doctor Strange, but it wouldn't be what we just had.
It wouldn't be WandaVision. It'd just be another, it'd be a Scarlet Witch show. Or it would be
again, that character, but again, you can say that with any character in the MCU, but you know, I guess now, arguably, with the exception of maybe Tony Stark, you know, Wanda is now the most well-developed character in the MCU. Right, like we know more about Wanda than pretty much anybody.
Yeah.
So
it is the first show.
Well, right, but I'm saying, are they going to double down? Like, I don't know that they'll give us another Wanda show. Like, how much Wanda do they want? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Depends on how important they want her to be going forward. But I know we would like another Wanda show. But, you know, we're also going to get Moon Knight, and we're going to get She-Hulk, and we're going to get all these other things.
Oh,
so, who knows? But, and yeah, you know, I know we said this before, too, but, you know, I'm looking forward to Falcon Winter Soldier in a week. Don't get me wrong. But it is not going to be WandaVision, you know.
Well, here's a funny thing. That nice segue, because that gets into what we talked about with spoiler free, in that I was a little disappointed at the end of this.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't as dramatic as we thought, or it could have been, right? I said in, what was it, episode one or two when we were talking about it, and I said, if this just turns out to be a grieving widow, I will be disappointed.
Right.
And at the end of the episode, I was like, huh.
It is.
It really was. I'm like, that's kind of disappointing. Like, there was no big or bad. There was no other motivation. Nobody manipulating her to do something. It was just like a grieving widow that just got upset for a week, you know, and you know, wreaked havoc, basically. And when I thought that, I was like, well, you know what? With everything you're hearing and stuff, I don't think there's going to be as much of a letdown to Falcon Winter Soldier, because I don't, you know, if had they done a lot more and developed the MCU further, I think there would have been a letdown, where this just turned out to be a grieving widow story unto itself. Okay, now we go on to Falcon Winter Soldier, and I think that could be just as good. I don't think we're going to have this fan speculation talk. I don't think,
well, that's the whole thing.
I think
you're
a lot of people
have
learned the lesson. I think you and I will.
Right. Well, but it depends on what there is to talk about. But I still just don't think there's the mystery there that we're going to be, like, I just don't think we're going to be trying to decipher the meaning of that show week after week.
Right.
I think the meaning of the show is pretty cut and dry. We're going to get great action scenes. We're going to have a lot of fun with Sam and, what's his name? Bucky.
Bucky. Oh.
couldn't think of his name. We're going
to
have
Sebastian
all the
Stan.
Yeah, we're going to have all the Lethal Weapon buddy cop stuff going on with those two. And it's going to be a lot of fun, but I just don't think it's going to have the emotional weight that WandaVision had.
No.
I still think, you know, WandaVision was something very different and you know, kind of special, I guess, in that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just don't think that gets replicated with Falcon Winter Soldier. We have the potential to do something similar with Loki.
Yeah, you had said that before, yeah.
You know, in the sense that we may have, you know, the wild theories again, like that we had with WandaVision. Now, like to your point that you just made, maybe we've learned our lesson as a collective we and won't be seeing Mephisto in every around every corner,
right?
when we're watching Loki, but who knows?
Let's get to a second here. Let's give a little time to Paul Bettany,
yeah,
and the havoc he created.
Yeah, I think unwittingly, but maybe not. You know,
well, I think it was unwittingly, And then I don't think he realized what he was saying. I think it was
I don't think he
not
did
a bad
either.
Joke. I think he was trying to make a joke, and he didn't realize the joke was going to turn into what it turned into.
Right. Well, he even said that. He's even said that after the fact. That he
well, he
didn't
said,
realize...
he goes, you ever said something? And I went, oh, that didn't go over the way I thought it would.
Yeah, he didn't realize the hell he was unleashing.
There was rumors of a remember, and I don't think this was Paul Bettany that said it, but there were rumors of a Skywalker-esque appearance at the end.
Well, and that's what that's why a lot of people are really upset.
Where did that come from?
Most of what I read this week as far as complaints were that look, we didn't get this cameo that we were promised. But
nobody
I don't
promised
know
it.
What but right, but I don't right, I don't remember what the origin of that was.
Right.
Like, where did that start at? Because maybe that was never supposed to be a thing either, and everybody just took it as a fact that that's what it was going to be. I don't know. I don't remember who said that or when, but yeah, at the end of the day, we didn't get that. You know, like the biggest cameo we got was Evan Peters, and that was kind of early on. And then a lot of people were really mad about that because he didn't turn out to be, Quicksilver. He was nothing. He was Ralph. He was
Ralph. It's like
he was her husband, Ralph. Beavis and Butthead, because he goes boner, which I thought was funny.
Ralph Boner.
He was just husband Ralph that kept getting referred to. But yeah, so people were upset about that. But he was the biggest cameo in the whole thing. And, again, listening to the director when he was talking about the show, how, so many things, they were able to keep a surprise, except for the biggest surprise they had, which leaked, right from the beginning. And, he was talking about the lengths they went to try to keep that, he was, ferried to the set in a hoodie and, Matt, they really went out of their way to keep him a secret, and that thing leaked right at the very beginning.
Right.
But then all the other stuff, they were able to keep under wraps, so.
Well, there wasn't anything else that big.
No, but.
and people were too busy guessing other things. It was it was the shell game.
Right.
And everybody was guessing the wrong thing, and nobody was looking at it's just Paul Bettany at the end.
Right.
No, he's already in it. Yeah, I know. He does another cameo.
But listening to him again, the director, and I can't remember his name now, but he was talking the whole aerospace, the engineer thing where everybody went crazy thinking it was Reed Richards. He's he was talking about that was never the intent. The intent was always to be just this woman that they introduced, but he was talking about it he spent a year working on the special effects for that scene with that rover.
Yeah.
And was super proud of that. But then as the episode was airing and they were leading up to it and he was seeing all these fan theories, his heart was sinking because he knew that what he thought was really cool was going to be a giant letdown to everybody because it wasn't Reed Richards. And, just talks about how...
I thought that rover was ridiculous.
Yeah, but it's just it just goes to show that, they thought they were doing something really cool with that.
Right.
But it got completely derailed because people's speculation just took them in a different direction.
But see...
That no matter what he did, it wasn't going to be good enough,
But to be fair, they brought a lot of this on themselves. They have to know better. You put in a, I know an aerospace engineer. You got to know that the MCU fans are going to go crazy. Who going to be? Who is it? Who in Marvel is an aerospace engineer?
Yeah, I guess. But and then it just was funny listening to him talk about, like I said, how he was so kind of so let down by that reaction because he was really proud of what he did. And, it just didn't work out in his favor,
Yeah, so. I just had another one. I just lost it. I can't remember. There was another one that they had done that it was their own fault. Oh, that's what it was. What's his name? Quicksilver.
Well, right. You don't bring him in and think that people aren't going to jump to conclusions.
But not only that, he turns out to be a nobody,
right,
living in an attic, right? But they actually have a stinger scene with him going, Snoop is going to snoop.
Right.
And you think he's going to take her down. And he turns out to be nobody.
Well, but he did take her down. Like, he captured her and held her hostage until Monica freed him from his delusion, basically. Or his, you know, she pulled the beads off of him.
It
released him from her spell. So when he said snoopers were going to snoop, he was working for Agatha under her spell. So he was something in that particular scene, and he did hold her hostage, you know, in that attic until she basically...
But you would think somebody that was going to take her hostage would be a little more powerful or a little bit more of a somebody, and especially as a big cameo.
That's true,
because
I'm not quite sure how he was able to overpower her.
Right.
Although he did have super speed...
Yeah, he did
the
boom and sent her across the... Yeah, he had super speed. He could do... I don't know.
Which, again, is just something that Agatha gave him. You know, I imagine she bestowed those abilities on him because he was supposed to be her, you know, Wanda's brother.
Right.
I guess her magic was able to control his mind and give him super speed. I don't know.
Yeah.
So,
we kind of touched on a little bit. Where's everything go from here? What do you think?
Well, it's hard to say. You know, I mean, I think that we definitely see Vision again. And I think he becomes Vision. You know that we kind of.
Think he stays the white Vision.
Well, whether he does or not, like I mentioned before, he stayed white in the comics for quite a long time.
Okay.
So maybe he does, maybe he doesn't, I don't know. But I think he becomes basically, you know, Paul, he becomes the Vision. And
well, let me ask you this.
This was just the way to bring him back. But I don't know where he shows up again is going to be the question.
Where's the Mind Stone?
Well, it's gone, right?
No. They're not all gone. Didn't Captain America go...
Well,
Steve,
what happened
all,
to him, right?
He put
them all back, right?
So where's the Mind Stone now? Is it in the Tesseract again?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question, because if he put everything back, in theory, he would have put it back in Vision's head, but Vision was dead, so...
Does he get the stone back then?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe... But I don't think he needs it anymore. Like...
Well,
the stone
he kinda,
just gave him, it really just gave him his life, right?
No, like but that's what he said. He said it in WandaVision. White Vision says, you have the yellow stone. I have the memories.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm wondering if that was like a prelude to what's to come.
I don't know. Well,
that what
it
gets
just depends
does he
on
get
what...
the yellow stone and then maybe he then turns into the Red Vision.
Yeah, it
I hate to go
on...
down this road of speculation, but
right. Well, it just depends on what Steve did with it. Like, we don't really know.
Right.
Like,
well,
everything
it has
was...
to exist somewhere.
Right, and everything was supposed to have been put back to where it was taken out of, you know, the timeline or whatever, right? So,
right.
In theory, yeah, it probably he wasn't able to put it back in Vision's head because Vision was gone, so it probably went back to the Tesseract. But where is that?
Right.
You know? That's the question for Loki to answer, right? Because, you know, you've got the Time Authority or whatever. I would imagine that's going to play some part in that, although I don't really know. I don't know. Yeah, it's a good question. I just feel like they're not going to go down the Infinity Stones rabbit hole again. Like, we've already been there, done that, you know? Like, going forward, we have the Eternals. We have a completely different set of things. So I'm not sure that we're going to backtrack and go back after those stones again. But, you know, you still have the Guardians of the Galaxy and, you know, another Ant-Man movie. So it's like we haven't said goodbye to all of those characters. But, you know, again, in theory, we're not supposed to see Captain America again. We're not going to see Black Widow or Iron Man again. So, although, again, Kevin Feige has said that this is not the last Avengers movie. You know, there will be another one at some point. You know, whether that's a Young Avengers or what, we don't really know. But
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know past Doctor Strange. I don't know what role Wanda plays going forward. I just don't know. You know, it's really hard to say. Based on at least the movies that have been announced for the next couple of years, I don't think we see her again except for Doctor Strange. But
you never know.
You know, because I don't think she's in, you know, I don't expect her to be in Black Panther 2. Don't really expect her to be in Ant-Man 3.
You never know, though, because, I mean, look, you know, Bruce Banner shows up in Ragnarok.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that was a story. So, or they used different stories from the comics for that.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if she shows up anywhere.
The thing is, I think Wanda plays a huge part in whatever comes next with the X-Men, you know?
Yeah.
Whenever the X-Men get introduced, I think is where we see Wanda again, you know, in some kind of substance, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's
a great point that's we should coming. Have touched on earlier.
Right, that's definitely coming. You know, we know we're getting a Fantastic Four movie. You know, I don't think she's a part of that necessarily, but I would imagine once we start doing X-Men that Wanda, you know, is definitely going to have some kind of role to play there. You know, she was never officially a member of the X-Men, but, you know, again, she's a mutant. And, definitely, you know, is that where we see the Magneto connection? Like, I don't know. But I think that's where we go from here with her.
So. Right. Yeah. And we also have the tie-in, the Stinger scene there with Captain Marvel. That's going to be coming up.
Right, right. And, you know, the boss is Nick Fury, right? I mean...
Yeah, they kind of... I mean, that was just laid out there.
Yeah.
They're like, the boss, he, and they even, like... They overemphasized that he would like to, come up there. I thought that was an awkwardly
for it to be the Ben Mendelsohn character, right? Like, that could be her boss, but...
Yeah, but
the boss of the Skrull that we saw. But I get the sense that it was Nick Fury.
Yeah, because he was friends with them, still is. You know,
right.
At first until that, you know, character says he, which was only like a half a second. I thought they were talking about Captain Marvel. You know. But it was literally having they go, he would like to see you, and you're like, oh. Okay, right. It's definitely Nick Fury, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, I thought maybe it was, is it Talos? Is that his name?
Ben Mendelsohn.
Ben Mendelsohn, yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought for a second it could be Talos, because that would be her boss, not
Yeah, but Talos was down Monica's here. Boss. He Remember in Far From Home?
He right, but we here. Don't know what's happened next, because we're getting the Secret Invasion show with him and Nick Fury, so obviously they connect together again, you know.
Far From Home, when did that... That took place roughly around the same time as WandaVision, didn't it?
Right, where we know from the end of that that Nick Fury is up on the Skrull
up.
Ship.
Right.
Right, up.
That's what I mean. So it's like... Because
but
I'm
again,
trying to
maybe,
think of...
Maybe Talos has made his way there, too, at that point.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because they are going to have to hook up together because they have that show coming.
Right.
And then how big, you know, does Monica, you know, we know that she shows up in Captain Marvel 2, but I could also see her playing a big role in Secret Invasion, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows what happens there.
So. Yeah, it's going to be, we need more.
Yeah.
And we get a week, we get 1 week. And
yeah,
then
we get more.
Falcon
yeah.
Winter Soldier.
Yep.
And then what, Loki's in what, May?
Loki's... I think it's June 11th now, isn't it?
Oh, was it? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it's June. It was originally May, but I think when they announced the date, it was June 11th. Yeah. May 4th, we get Bad Batch.
May the 4th be with you.
Yeah. May the 4th, we get Bad Batch. But then, which cool. should run concurrently with the beginning of Loki, I guess.
Yep.
I don't know how many episodes it is, though. So.
Cool.
But yeah. But, you know, Falcon Winter Soldier, I think, is only 6 episodes, if I'm not mistaken. So, that'll end...
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
So, that's
too short.
the end of April. So we go all of May and half of June, essentially, before we get. So we go
maybe they're all
weeks.
An hour long.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
I think they are, because I think they said that like the sitcom type shows were going to be like 9 half-hour episodes, and the drama shows were going to like hour long episodes. Essentially, you get the same amount of time. You end up with 6 hours basically, either way.
Right.
It's just, you know, you get 6 1-hours or. Although right, I don't necessarily think WandaVision was a
sitcom,
not a drama. Yeah, I mean,
right. Exactly.
But, you know, I think they said the She-Hulk show was going to be like a 30-minute format.
Right.
But, you know, Falcon Winter Soldier, I believe they said was hour-long episodes.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Is that it?
Oh, I think so.
It was a long one.
Yeah.
We got a warning here on our video.
We do.
You didn't see it, did you? Did you get it on your side?
I wasn't looking.
Oh, I got a warning on the screen. Are you still here?
Oh.
I'm like, yeah.
Are you still watching?
So, like, on the YouTube video, they'll see, like, half of each of our faces got blocked for a second because a little warning came up. Like, are you still here? Yeah, we're still recording.
Yeah, we're still here. We've never gotten that before.
No, but they didn't hang up on us this time either.
Oh, that's true.
I'll take that.
Yeah. Let's say, we're not any longer than we normally go.
No. No. No, but it actually stuck with us the whole time. That was pretty nice.
Don't jinx it. We're not done yet.
Yeah, we're not done yet. So, all right. That'll do it for this week.
I think so.
All right. Let's get out of here.
All right.